it better.
I'm sure there was. You on?
We're on.
Like, yes. Welcome everybody to the November meeting in the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our office in Springtown and as well by Zoom, remote conferencing for those who want to listen in. You can find the link and the login numbers on our website. Roll call. Director English is absent. Director Reynolds?
Here.
Director Nave?
Here.
Director Watts is absent. Director Wilson?
Here.
Director Micah?
Here.
Director Berkeley is absent. And I am present. I'm Board President Tracy Messler. If everyone please stand and join me in the pledges.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor and protect this flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Tracy, I'm just going to, before we get started, remind everyone, or we have new microphones or directional, please speak into them. If you'll notice on the microphone, gentlemen, there's a button that says push. If you push that button, it mutes the microphone. So if you need to speak and don't want to be recorded or on the speaker, you push the button and it mutes the mic.
Thank you. Doug, do we have any public comments?
I have not received any.
Staff is mute, I take it, for the moment. Very well. Public hearing. Receive any public comments, requests, contests, and the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing, minimum track size requirements. We have four here. You want to take them up as all in one?
Yeah, I'd like to go through them, and then I have a recommendation at the end.
Okay.
Just do it all at once.
Applicant A is Mary Daugherty, 6340 Lake Forest Boulevard, Fort Worth, operating permit, requesting 378,000 gallons a year. Applicant B is Susan Lindsay, 12533 Villa Milano in Fort Worth, operating permit, requesting 378,000 gallons per year. Applicant C is Elizabeth Daly, 8803 Spowell Court, Fort Worth, operating permit, requesting 378,000 gallons a year. And applicant D is Matthew Carroll, 12901 Flora Drive, Fort Worth, an operating permit for 378,000 gallons a year. Doug?
Yes, sir. So just a real quick reminder, I'd like to run through before all of our operating permit hearings. District Rule 2.9 says that basically the board shall grant the lesser of a reasonable non-speculative amount of groundwater demand or the applicable annual production allowable per contiguous controlled acreage. And I'll describe both that here in a second. This, Mr. Carroll had originally contacted district, back in 2019, I believe, had an eight acre tract of land, was wanting to put in an RV park, and eventually had decided to go in and subdivide that RV park or that eight acre tract into 4 2-acre tracts, and has since deeded those off to the three applicants and himself, and they plan on putting in 4 separate RV parks. And the location is, you can see on the map on the left, kind of just north of the Hood-Parker County line, right on the west side of Highway 171 north of Crescent. So as they're wanting to drill one well on each of the four lots. So those would be well IDs 16355, 16356, 16358, and 16360. They're requesting 17.36 gallons per minute for each well, drilled to a total depth of 380 feet. At the requested 17.36 gallons per minute, the wells meet all spacing requirements of 50 foot off the property line and 150 foot from the nearest well. You'll notice in this map up right now, and for well 16355, well 560 is about 148, 145 feet away, but that well 560 is 860 foot total depth. I think it's, so it meets the vertical offset. These are shallower wells, so therefore no exceptions required.
Doug, is this property platted?
Yes, sir. Just like you're seeing it right there.
Easements to allow access?
There is a, go ahead and put that one up.
Yes. Yep. If you look on the actual plat that was included in the application package, I believe there are some easements in there.
Yes. It has road easements through all three lots back to the back.
To get all the way to the furthest west, the westernmost. Correct. So basically, based on district rules, and we talked about the maximum allocation per contiguous acreage, district rules state that you either get the total average aquifer thickness multiplied by 500, multiplied by the acreage you own, or the depth of well, whichever is less. So since they're not proposing to drill to the bottom of the aquifer, they're only proposing to drill to 380 feet. They only get credit for 380 foot of the aquifer in the allocation. The four properties I've listed there, the acreage there, 2.104, 2, 2.001, and 2. When you do the math, 380 foot times 500 times the acreage, they all come out to between 380,000 and 399,000 gallons per year that they're eligible for. Each of the four has requested 378,000 gallons per year. They've provided staff with basically describing how they got to that number. It is, we feel comfortable in their calculations. It's they added a little bit of a 10% factor to go over, but we feel comfortable that they weren't, you know, shooting for the sky. They're reasonable numbers. So we did some impact analysis, as we do with all operating permits. We still weren't able to run the GAM. That was not available. I don't know, is that available? It's still not available. But we were able to do the well impact analysis. Very, very minimal impact, as you see here. Blaine set up a model run, set up simulated observation wells all around the proposed wells. And you're looking at really less than a foot or less than a foot of drawdown in each of the wells. 17 gallons a minute, not really pumping. I would argue that each of the wells would probably pump what a typical household well would pump a year or less. So they're not requesting a tremendous amount of water. The project would add 5 acre feet per year to the outcrop of the Paluxy in Parker County, well under the MAG, the model available groundwater for that formation. And I feel comfortable in saying it's such a small volume of water that would have, even though we weren't able to run the GAM, I feel very comfortable in saying it would have little to no impact. I mean, 5 acre feet is nothing compared to the total pumping that's in the district when you run the GAM. So based on our analysis, everything I've looked at, and district rules, my recommendation is approval of the four operating permits as presented for 378,000 gallons per year for each applicant. And I'm happy to answer any questions, Tracy.
You said it's going to be a mobile home park.
RV park.
RV park.
Yes, sir.
So
four RV parks.
How many RVs? Or 2 acres?
14.
So it's 14 times 4.
Yes, sir. So 56.
I figured that out. But the question is this. You were talking about average household. Are this going to be a permanent resident type
RV park? I would assume so. You know, I don't want to speculate. I think they told us when we met with them that it was likely people would be staying there, you know, for extended periods of time. So most of the RV parks we see around here, it is people, they do appear that people tend to live there.
And I assume it's going to be under four different names?
That is RV Park 1, RV Park 2, RV Park 3, whatever. That is correct. They haven't provided us any actual names of the four RV parks yet. That's not required by anything, our rules, but they are owned by four separate people. And it was our understanding that they're doing everything they can to keep them separate.
So it looks like at 378,000 gallons a year, at just over 17 gallons a minute, that's pumping 1 hour a day.
Yeah. It's not a tremendous amount of pumping. Like I said, it's going to be honestly, that is comparable for a 2 acre lot to what you would, a single family home would pump. Someone that irrigated their lawn a little bit. Yes, sir.
Do you have any knowledge of what type of system they're going to use to service these? My concern would be that you would have 56 water hoses hooked up to the water well. What type of backflow preventions in place?
So it is with the less than 14 connections per 2 acres. It falls under, well, it's not even per well, it's per system, right? Because they're four separate properties. They fall below the standard for TCEQ requirements. So 15 connections or more is a public water system, and then you have to meet all TCEQ's requirements. You have to hire an engineer, engineer the well, engineer the water system, sample the water, all that. So they are below that requirement. So honestly, there's not really any requirements as how what kind of system they put in.
So there's no backflow prevention?
No, sir. I mean, it's once if you do not qualify as a public water system, it's basically just like the well out at your barn or out at your house, Brent. You can hook it up to your house any way you want.
Sure. Do you feel that the purpose of splitting that up into four was to subvert that rule?
I'm going to take you off the hook on that, Doug. That's not in our purview because I don't think we have, well, let me back up. At this point, I'm going to take the board into executive session for consultation with legal counsel. I showed it as 5:12 p.m. No action will be taken in executive session. We'll return to open session to take any appropriate actions we need to take. And I hope we do have Brian online, do we?
We do.
Okay.
Let me pause the recording.
Pause here and get everybody in there. Let's go in there.
Well, we need to be in here. I didn't realize we're going to go into executive session, so I didn't hook up my computer in here. Yes.
Y'all are going to have to leave for a moment.
Tracy, do we really need to be in?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
You want to grab the door?
Brent, got it.
All right. This is the first time I haven't set up in there, so.
That's all right.
That's when we're doing it.
Please bear with me.
Boarding off.
Are you going to start the executive session now?
Please bear with me.
Well, when we finally get Brian online before we can talk with him. He's got to reestablish us, but not on public Zoom, on private Zoom.
Well, can I ask a question anyhow?
We were turned out of executive session at 5:44 p.m. While we had our legal counsel on hand, we discussed some other items that are on the agenda tonight and just took care of all at one time instead of jumping in and out of executive session. Board, have any more questions to the general manager? Doug, was there anybody online that had any comment request?
Not seeing.
I'm online. I'm Matthew Carroll's son.
Okay. Did you wish to say anything, or you?
I just didn't know what was going on. I've been on hold for a while with the permits.
We had to go into executive session for consultation with legal counsel and then came out and we're back in open session.
Sure. Back to open session. I just didn't know what was going on was all.
Okay. Board has heard the general manager's recommendations. So we approve these four permit applications. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion. We approve these special permit applications.
I have a motion by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Got a second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion among the board? There being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Show the motion carried 5-0. I'm closing the public hearing at 5:45. Moving into our regular agenda for the meeting. And thank you, Mr. Carroll. Your item is approved.
Thank you very much, guys. I hope everybody has a good night.
Thank you. Consent agenda, which includes minutes of public hearing and regular board meeting of October 18th, approval of bank statement ending October 29th, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through November 15th, reimbursement of expenses incurred on behalf of the district through November 15th, and approval of request for extension applications submitted to through November 15th. Chair, to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
And that answers my question. That's Director Mike and Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is mute. Item three, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take necessary action. We'll take these one by one. Well ID 16440 and 105 Tabiano Track, Weatherford, Parker County by Moore's Water Well Service. Doug?
Yes, sir. So if y'all recall, this would be the third of these violations by Moore's since April, I believe it was, or was it May, the first one, Kyle? September. And if you recall, in September, we offered, before I get into this, we offered an $800 settlement as part of that penalty fee, as part of that settlement. At that time, the board did mention that it would be steeper if there was a third one. And here we are a month and a half later, 2 months later, and there's a third one. What happened is on October 29th, that was a Friday, Jenny received a call pretty early that morning, before 9, I believe. Yeah, asking about the status of an application. Jenny told the lady with the driller's office that we had not received that application. About 7 minutes later, Jenny received an email with that application, asking if we could, you know, do what we could to, you know, get it done as fast as possible. But as y'all know, you know, we get in 50 applications a week, 100 applications a week. We get to them as fast as we can and, you know, usually within 5 days. The next week, middle of the next week, Zane went out to field verify the location to make sure it met spacing from the other well that was recently approved in that subdivision, and Zane found that that well had been drilled. You can see the picture of it there on the bottom. So that was 3-4 days, business days later. That was on November 4th. This is, again, their third violation. It's pretty straightforward. It met all spacing when they were out there. Zane did measure, met 50 foot off property line, 150 foot from another well. So I see no reason to require them to plug the well. However, it is the third such violation. It's worth pointing out that district rules allow up to a $10,000 penalty for a third violation. I'm not recommending that, but I do recommend a motion to find Mr. Lindley has committed a third major violation of district rules and offer a settlement in lieu of litigation. In that settlement, I would suggest somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 penalty fee. Requirement to submit the registration application, which they've done, pay the fees, which they've done, and then forfeiture of the well report deposit.
This is the third identical violation.
It's the third exact. I mean, the common, I don't know if y'all read my memo. I think I stated in there that the common factor in all of them is it seems to be miscommunication in their office. I think they've got some new office staff. I mean, I get it, but you know, one time, two times in a couple months, you'd think you'd learn your lesson. Here's three times. It's unfortunate, but it does seem like the same thing. It happened each of the three times, and it's three times in basically a 6-7 month period.
Question on the first violation, the penalty in lieu of litigation was $250, right?
Correct.
So basically the penalty on the second one was triple rounded up.
Pretty much. Yes, sir.
Chair makes a motion to make a finding of third major violation and offer a settlement in lieu of litigation with a penalty of $2,500 plus forfeiture of the driller's deposit. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion?
I ask to amend it to $3,500.
Shannon, are you willing to do that? I am.
Good with 25.
You're good with 25?
Do we have any reason to believe it was malicious or intentional?
No, I don't at all. I don't believe it was malicious at all. But, I mean...
I think we've got to get their attention.
That's the only reason I'm even recommended up to 2,000 is it seems like the slap on the wrist in getting the attention.
You know.
No, I feel like 2,500 should get their attention. I don't feel like it's malicious. I feel like it's sloppiness. And this should help get the paperwork done on time.
They understand that it could be up to $10,000.
And the fourth violation, we've actually allows us to do a number of things beyond this. We've never even gotten that far in the discussion.
I think the fourth violation is pretty much file suit.
Yeah. Fourth violation would probably also include plugging the well, et cetera.
Well, they definitely need to be at least $2,500. They need to understand.
You know, it's...
I could understand if this was a four-year span, but this is good grief.
That's exactly what I was fixed to say, Don. It's one thing if it happens over three, four-year period. You know, yeah, stuff happens, but literally it's every other month.
We've had one or two drillers get to a third violation in a three-year period, and it's not the same violation. I mean, it's a different thing in the rules. I mean, this is the same violation. So, that's why I said
25. I would even go as high as 3,000. The whole point is we need to let them know. And I'm not putting in a motion. Just the idea, we don't need to slap their hands. But if you want to, so did you make a motion of 2,500?
I made a motion of 2,500. I have a second. Brent asked me to amend it to 35 because we got a bare quorum here.
I'll just call for the motion.
$2,500 is a house payment for a lot of people.
$2,500 is a house payment. I want to get into where he's not making any profit off the well. And I think we're right there.
If he knows that if it goes to the fourth, then it's going to be, you know,
five figures.
Then the next one's bad.
The next one's five figures.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hit pretty high.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hit $2,500 plus $600 plus $100.
Yes.
So he needs to know on the fourth violation that the wrath will rain down.
Yes. Yeah, I'll put a send out a little letter with him explaining what the fourth violation would include.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, well ID 16407 at 100 Quail Ridge in Decatur, Wise County by B&B Pump. Doug?
Yeah, similarly, this well was drilled without approval. Difference was the last company, the district found all three of their previous violations. This one, the driller self-reported. And I do have a letter I'm going to read from the driller here in a second. Basically, what happened is there was a mistake there. Ms. Grantham and her husband run B&B Pump. She told him that it was approved. He drilled it. She figured out over the weekend when filling out her state report that it wasn't approved and called us at 8 o'clock on Monday morning and told us that they drilled a well without approval. I have a letter right here. If you want me to read it, Tracy, I will. It basically says what I just explained. They apologize for not being here tonight. It's their son's 21st birthday party. Here, I'll put it up here so you guys can see it. Their son's 21st birthday party and they already have reservations. She explained that the week of 10/17/21, her husband had called and asked if it was approved. She did a search of her emails and saw something under the same owner, the applicant's name, that was approved. Over the weekend when filling out her reports, she looked and found out that that one that she thought was approved was from back in March. You know, she called us immediately, and that is true. She called Jenny first thing Monday morning, or she called the office and actually talked to Leisha first thing Monday morning and told Leisha, you know, hey, you know, we did this. Leisha told her she'd let me know. I think Zane went out there that day or the next day. It met all our spacing requirements. So at least I don't feel that it needs to be plugged because it does meet our spacing requirements. She's apologizing, you know, asked. I don't agree with, you know, her saying that she doesn't want a penalty, but I, it's a different situation. They self-reported. That's this situation. So my recommendation on this one is a violation of major violation of district rules and a settlement offer that includes a $250 penalty fee and forfeiture of the well report deposit.
Have they submitted the new well?
They have. She submitted it that day when they called and told us. And they submitted it and paid for it that day. So it's already been submitted, paid for.
Well, in this board, generally when drillers self-report, this board is...
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, I appreciate it. You know, like I said, that the last driller, we found three in the last 6 months.
How many did you not find?
Exactly. And they didn't report a single one. That's just the ones that we stumbled across.
Yep.
This one, again, when literally it seems, and I'm going to take their word for it, but it does seem like as soon as they realized that they'd messed up, they called and told us they messed up. And I mean, from a staff's perspective, I appreciate that.
But I make a motion that we do a penalty of $250 as directed.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, well, ID 14118 at the Fairview Metal Subdivision, Wise County, by New Fairview Mud Number 1.
This is another self-reporting. So New Fairview Mud, Fairview Meadows Subdivision over in Eastern Wise County. You may remember they initially, there's the guys that initially submitted 10 applications and then rescinded them when we had all the people register their wells around there and they come back and drill in the middle. Anyway, this is a well that we approved. We approved their operating permit and an exception this time last year, last November. As part of that, we put the stipulations that we normally do. And just so you guys understand, when we bring something for an exception, the board approves the exception, and then we put the stipulations on there for, you know, the driller sign the application, submit TCEQ approval, sign a monitoring well agreement. And once that stuff is fulfilled, then I sign and approve the actual well registration. What staff does, what Kyle does, is once the board makes that motion, he lets the applicant and their engineer know. And then Kyle follows up every 120 days. Just a reminder, I'm waiting on this, this, and this from you guys. Every 120 days, Kyle sends that email. This last week, Kyle sent that email. Their engineer immediately called Kyle back and said, oops, we started drilling this well. So at the time they started drilling and had completed the well, they had not submitted TCEQ approval, had not signed a monitoring well agreement, and had not had the driller submit the signed application. As of today, they have provided all of those three things to us, but they did drill the well prior to submitting those things.
When did they provide the geolog?
Well, they can't provide that until they're completed. Okay. Until they drill the well. They've provided that now because the well's drilled,
okay.
But they can't provide that until after the well's drilled. Those three things that I have up here are required before I sign the application.
So basically they had three oopses in their actions.
Yep. Okay. This is the first one. I would say, rather than putting it on the driller like we normally do, the driller's non-exempt applications are very different. Exempt applications are very much the driller submits them. They're our contact. The non-exempt applications, we worked with an engineer. We work with the applicant. We don't even know who the driller is at this point. You know, they're out of town folks. Who was the drilling company? Yeah, which he doesn't do much business around here. So I would recommend that we find that New Fairview Mud has committed a first major violation, and then my recommendation is a $250 penalty fee.
Doug, what's the capacity of this well?
This is a big well. It's I mean, it's to probably whatever it would make. I think we approved it for over 100 gallons a minute.
Well, I have a little bit of heartburn given the same level of penalty to a 17.36 or less well versus a 200.
Gotcha.
Can I make a suggestion? Because they failed to meet three of our criteria, the three criteria, three times 250.
At least.
What's our range on this one, Doug?
So I think first violation is up to $1,000.
I think that's right.
Second violation is up to $5,000, and third violation is up to $10,000.
So in the first incident, that was a mistake, and they owned it, and you're a small residential well. This is a different animal.
Yeah, I mean, they've got – I mean, you're right. They've literally paid an engineer thousands of dollars to keep up with this stuff for them.
I think the other thing on this one, it may be different, is they came to us, asked for the well, had an exception, and we laid out how they could go about it. And we've been emailing them on a regular basis to remind them that they need to do, you know, where are you at? What are we doing? So this shouldn't come as a shock that they forgot to do all the things they were supposed to do.
Yeah. I think where Tracy was going, and if I just read the tea leaves right, it seemed like Tracy was possibly suggesting a $250 penalty for each of the three things they forgot.
Well, unless there's some more discussion, Chair, to entertain a motion. Brent, you want to make one?
I'd like the motion that we find them, and they've committed first major violation, and we find them, or we offer a settlement in lieu of litigation for $1,000, and forfeiture of the $100 well report deposit.
I second. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D, well ID 15470 at Lot 15, Stratford Farms Estate, Parker County, Lone Star Water Well Drilling and Service Company. Doug?
Yeah, this one, I don't even know. I'd asked Jacob to go.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Yes. My name's Steve Cohen. I'm on Lone Star, and I'm on the line.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. So I'd asked Jacob to go out and take a look at another application out in this subdivision, and I think it's Stafford Farms Estates. And he'd gone out there and he was coming back. He marked the location for me, measured a couple things, and he was coming back and just driving down through the subdivision. He thought that a well out there looked awful close to a property line. So he went out there and measured it, and lo and behold, it was too close to a property line. So I'm going to go through a couple slides here just so the board can see how thorough we were, and we have records showing that it was marked in the correct place. So we originally got the application on May 13th of this year. Staff visited the location, and on May 21st, it was approved. The two pictures you see there were taken on May 21st. The first one on the left shows Zane measuring 52 feet to the western property line. And this is why I have staff take all these pictures, and we do for quite a few. The picture on the right, and there's actually more, but I just include these two. The picture on the right is the marked and flagged location. So Jacob went back out. So a little bit more. On September 14th, we received a request from the owner to change the driller to Lone Star Water Well Drilling. On November 9th is when Jacob was out there and saw it. So what you're seeing there is Jacob measuring from the well to the western property line, which you just saw in the last image was 52 feet. And here it's 24 feet and maybe some change, or just under 24 feet to the property line. On the next slide, you will see three pictures, really. The picture on the furthest left was taken on May 20th, and you can see the coordinates on the GPS unit. The one taken on 11/9, there's a shadow, or there's a glare, but I promise you it says the exact same coordinates, and there's obviously cement underneath it. In the picture on the right, you see the GPS unit setting in the driveway on the approved location. And you can see 26, 28 feet away back towards the property line where the well is drilled. So just a brief refresher, District Rule 4.2D states that an owner and driller of a well are jointly responsible for ensuring that a well is drilled the location strictly complies with location and spacing requirements of the subsection. If the board determines that a well is drilled at a location that does not strictly comply with the location and spacing requirements of this subsection, the board may, in addition to taking all other appropriate enforcement action, include without limitation revoking or suspending the well registration or permit, require the well to be permanently closed and plugged, or authorize the institution, dot, dot, dot. Just wanted to show that in our rules. And so a little bit more. The flag that was originally placed down was, we did not change the coordinates. Those were the coordinates and locations submitted by the original driller. So when you look at the application, that was the location originally submitted to the district. We just went and verified it and put our flag down and marked it. The driller has stated that they drilled where the flag was placed, and I absolutely 100% believe them. However, it is very likely that the flag got moved. It's very likely that after they put forms down, somebody said, hey, that flag's right in the middle of where we're going to pour a driveway. And rather than doing what every other driller, and Jenny and Leisha can tell you, at least a dozen times a week, we get calls, hey, we need to move this approved location. And we get out there and we mark it and we measure it and we find it for them. And nobody ever called us on this one. They just drilled the well. Jacob, who's online and could probably tell you, it was close enough to a property line that Jacob saw it just driving down the road. This would be the driller's second violation. Their first violation was back in January of 2020. I will say that I have nothing but good things to say about this drilling company. They've always do their best to comply. I have no doubt that somebody did move the flag on them. However, the fact is that the well was drilled in violation of district spacing requirements. And therefore, it's my recommendation that we find that Mr. Maynard, who is the driller, the licensed driller who signed the application, has committed a second major violation of district rules, offer a settlement in lieu of litigation that includes a $500 penalty fee and a requirement to plug the existing well, and resubmit an application along with all fees for a new well that meets all district spacing requirements. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
Several. And I understand that the owner changed drillers in the middle of the system. So Mr. Maynard got caught in the middle to some extent.
Correct.
The requirement to plug the well, who do we make that instruction to? The requirement of the owner or the requirement of the driller or both?
You know, that's a question for our legal counsel. I don't know if we can specify who has to be with the bill for doing that. I think all we can do is just require that the well be plugged, but I would defer to Brian on that.
Ultimately, it's the owner.
I would assume that would be the owner. But
Brian, is there any problem with us stating that in the motion?
No, sir.
So if we were to do that, I mean, then we could find that I forget the gentleman's name that owns Trinity Classic Homes, and Daniel Morgan. We could change it to find that Daniel Morgan of we could change it to say that Daniel Morgan of Trinity Classic Homes committed a first major violation and require him to do such things.
We could assess some penalty to Lone Star, but require the plugging by Mr. Morgan.
If Brian says you can do it, he's the attorney, and I'm going to defer to him.
I'm just making sure the board has all their options on the table.
We've had this situation occur before, haven't we?
We have not required somebody to plug a well.
This is a first.
But we have levied a penalty against an owner.
We have, correct.
Yes. Because it was if I remember correctly, that was a situation where the owner admitted they moved this flag and the driller didn't know it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so.
And I'm not going to speculate as to who moved the flag, but I have no reason but to believe Mr. Maynard when he told Kyle that he drilled where the flag was. I mean, Mr. Maynard's never been anything but up, you know, forthright and very, very, very honest with us.
Is this property owned by a builder?
I believe the property is still owned by Trinity Classic Homes. Jacob, I don't know if you were there. It's not, is the house finished yet?
No, the house isn't complete. There's no interior or anything.
So if we are going to have them plug it, this is the time to do it, because it's not going to impact anybody living there or anything like that. So,
Tracy, the rules are structured so that both the landowner and the well driller for drilling violations are jointly and severally liable for those, which allows the board to use a little discretion on who they think's at fault in deciding who to levy a penalty against.
Thank you, Brian. Any further questions from the board? The board's heard the general manager's recommendations. What's the board's pleasure?
Excuse me, I was.
I'm sorry, Mr. Maynard. Go ahead.
In this meeting. No, this isn't Mr. Maynard. This is Steve Cohn, and I do own the company. And when all of those wells out there were permitted through another drilling contractor, and then they asked us to take over the permits, I went out specifically and redid all of the coordinates on that well. And we don't put a flag in the ground. We put a sign in the ground with our name on it and said, and it's asked that sign not be moved. When Mr. Maynard drilled the well, he was drilling it based on where that sign was. And we had just went out and checked that. And it was, there wasn't a driveway when we staked the well. They moved the sign, not David, not my people, not me. And we will plug the well and we will pay the violation, but this is not on us. We didn't do this.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I think we're all heading the same place on this.
Yes, sir. And if I haven't expressed, this is Doug, the general manager. If I haven't expressed enough that I 100% believe Mr. Maynard that he did not move the well, I absolutely believe that he pulled up and drilled the well where the sign was and somebody moved it.
Yeah, and that's I mean, we do all we can to try to alleviate that, but invariably when we put our sign up, it's just it's a reason for somebody to pick it up and move it so they can stack bricks there or put dirt there or put sand there or whatever. This is a continual battle, and I mark every location that we go to, and it's me that puts the signs up. Me. And sometimes to the tune of five or six of them a day in different areas. So I you know, it's a, but I'm not going to pay for, I mean, I'll pay the violation. I don't think David even ought to be given a violation on this. I think that this is all on the homeowner. I mean, the builder, and I'll never think anything different. I don't know what violation we had in 2020. I can't remember one that we did have, but this is not on us. This is on the home builder.
Oh,
and I'll plug as well. I may not drill him another one because it just pisses me off. That we're in this position, and we go to all of the detail to do what we do and do it in the best fashion that I know how to do it. And we don't drill wells without having a permit. That don't happen with us. It takes a lot of communication, and this is somebody just averting the system, and we're suffering for it.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe it's warranted, not one bit.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. Doug just mentioned me. I think for the other violation was too large a pump on a well, which I want to guess was more than 17.33 gallons per minute.
That was a TCEQ well, and that was what was permitted through the engineering group. So,
well,
so
that's not on our agenda tonight. So
I understand.
Get back to this one. What's the board's pleasure on this, or you want me to try to phrase it?
make a motion that we find a major violation by, what's the name of the landowner, the property owners?
Trinity Classic Homes.
Trinity Classic, a first major violation by Trinity Classic Homes. Assess them a penalty of $250. Require them to plug well number 15470 and drill a new, file a new application with new fees to drill a new well on the property, which is in compliance with the district rules. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
I have a second by Director Wilson. Do I hear any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Sir, you're off the hook.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The fact that you went out and rechecked every well site, that's good. So, all right.
Thank you very much. We get a lot of permits that are reverted over to us because somebody else can't get to them. So we do that.
Yeah, it's wise. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
While we're on this topic, just like to bring the board's attention that there are probably dozens, if not scores, if not potentially hundreds of possible other violations the district staff does not have time to get to. And we probably need to have a discussion about providing enough staff to do some spot checking around the district, because we do know we have some people who are more lax in their compliance with the rules than others that need to be checked, including one from July or August that staff hasn't been able to go back and check all their other wells because every one of them was over pump size that we did check. So if you see that on a future agenda for discussion, that's what it's going to be about. While we want compliance, we have to do some enforcement. And some of that may require us to go out and do some field checking and stuff. So I'm just kind of – I'm going to do my lobbying while we had the topic on the agenda. So, okay. Item number four, discussion regarding – dates for the board directors meetings and district holiday schedule for 2022 and take necessary action. I'll remind the board that our rules or bylaws require us to use the holiday schedule for Parker County because that's where our offices are.
I don't think it's in the bylaws. I just think that's what the board's always done.
Maybe normal and customary.
I think it's just always just what y'all chose to do early on. It's stuck.
So that's where this list came from.
Yep. Yeah. And to add to what Tracy said, every year since I've been here, and I think every year since the district's been in operation, the board has adopted Parker County's holiday schedule. So their commissioners recently took action, and on the left is the Parker County's holiday schedule. And then on the right, if we stick to the third Monday at 5:00, those would be our board meeting days. And we always January and February, the third Monday's holidays. So my recommendation would be the fourth Monday. I would like to add, I have lobbied. Last time you'll ever hear me say it, there are other times potentially more convenient for staff for meetings. And as today has proven, it was Monday nights. I mean, if they're the greatest time, we still struggle to get a quorum on them. But if we stay the same, here's my recommendations.
And there's nothing that says we can't during the middle of the year if we want to adjust our meeting date or whatever. We can. So, board, have any questions on this?
Yeah, June 20th, it's on a holiday.
Daylight saving time, we need to change.
Dark out. Ridiculous. It's dark out.
June 20th is on a holiday?
Yep, that one's going to have to be moved too.
It's June 20th is, you're right. I didn't look at that. That's
the Juneteenth.
Observation of Juneteenth.
I'll still be in Philmont too.
We can.
Will you be in shape for that by then?
I'll be in a shape.
If you want, we can adopt this as is and move that one to the fourth Monday as well.
Yeah. We can do that later. We can make that adjustment.
Correct.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion that we accept the proposed dates for the meetings of 2022.
Do we hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, discussion regarding the proposed 2022 budget and allocation of district funds, included but not limited to the adoption of Resolution 21-004, adopting a budget for 2022, and Resolution 21-005, allocation of funds for the district, and take necessary action. Doug?
Yeah, so we talked about this briefly last month, and I went through it. I'm not going to go through every line item. If you have any questions or had a chance to look at the budget and have any questions, please feel free to ask them now. A couple changes were made since last month based on conversations with Shannon and Berkeley and a few other members of the budget committee. I would note, and I mentioned Director Mike, I had to meet him earlier in the month or last month to get a check signed, and we talked about vehicles. I did get a quote back from the Ford House, and based on them meeting all the government pricing, giving rebates, I'm actually going to be able to get us 3 trucks for $115,000 and possibly about $20,000 for a trade-in. So we're probably going to get 3 trucks for under $100,000. So we're going to be doing good. So that's included in the budget. Everything else is in there. You'll see on this last page, every year we commit and assign funds. Committed funds require a resolution to move into the budget. It's legal and litigation fund and an operating reserve fund. The assigned funds, it just takes a motion during the budget amendment. And that's, so I left just kind of a placeholder for monitoring well. So if we have a project that comes up and we can drill a monitoring well, we would just have a budget amendment and move money from assigned funds into the budget for that purpose. The same with the facility building. Let's say we want to work on the entryway. Visit with a couple of you guys about either paving or doing a chip seal, just the entryway, or some additional covered parking, stuff like that here. So we would just move money into the budget at that time. My recommendation is approval of the 2022 budget as proposed, along with the adoption of both of the 2 resolutions. Happy to answer any questions.
We probably need to put some more money in these assigned or committed funds. We're carrying pretty substantial balance. We're going to end the year with considerable positive balance.
So the 3.5 accounts for all of our investments. You're right, Tracy. I'm always hesitant to assign or commit anything that's in our actual account. But you're right. We're probably going to have to buy another $250,000, another $250,000 investment early next year.
And if we continue to register wells through the rest of this year, that line item alone is going to be $1 million too. Be $500,000 more than what we're planning.
Yeah. So we can. So what I can do is, if you want, we can add. My recommendation would be to add $250,000 more to facilities and building and to technology development. Bring those both to $500,000 would be my recommendation. So if you want to make that change, I can change it in the resolution real quick. And if Ann can make that change and get it and printed, and you can sign it real quick before you leave.
We're probably going to end the year because of the well registrations and stuff. We're almost at the entire budget revenue for the year right now.
Yeah. How many did... So for this month, just through the first 15 days of November, we're at 117 applications. I mean, it's crazy.
I know.
So, Trace, earlier you made a pitch about staff. One of the pitches I'd like to make for future consideration is expanding our rainwater harvesting program to other nonprofit entities, things like ESDs, the emergency service districts, the local fire departments, and ISDs, the school districts. With their roofs and things like that, that would be an opportunity for both learning, as well as fire departments could have storage facilities for water on tap. The school districts could have learning education. If we have rural situations, and we could go into some type of grant situation where we match 80-20 or something like that, and have a opportunity for fire departments to be able to go and pull water out of those locations as a known tap. Those are things that we could do to help use rainwater harvesting, minimize pumping, and promote education throughout the district.
I can speak to the value of that because being a former mayor, it's always it's difficult to quantify the amount of water that a fire department pulls out of the public water system, and it creates some animosity there. So that would be a fantastic resolution.
So I think that's a good idea, and I'm going to assign that to the education committee.
Sure.
Work with our education coordinator on that and get that drafted together. I'll point out that we will see, obviously, the new well registration revenue through the rest of this year, through next month, and then after January, we'll know how much we've cleared on that. And that's without SA2. We're going to more than meet our budget for the year.
Correct.
And that's another $450,000 estimate.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. But that's a projected $450,000 there. So, I mean, that's a good idea, Shannon.
Yeah, no, Shannon and I talked about that, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago. And I hadn't even, like, emergency service districts, you know, because we do have the fire flow on the one we've put in and the one we're working on in Wise County. I'd thought about the ESDs, but I hadn't thought about the school districts. And I think it's, I mean, you can offset a lot of the school districts. I mean, they're using water wells to irrigate common area. I mean, if you could offset that with rainwater, that's really goes a long way. And the education aspect of it being at a school where you can put some signage up and kids start to like think of, hey, rainwater harvesting is a real thing that actually produces a lot of water.
Well, and the fact he said schools, you know, Doug and I have talked about this. We've done two sheriff's posse's buildings. We're not going to have that opportunity in Monte County because there is not any one central location. But the schools would be able to address those. In fact, I'm thinking three of the school systems are on water wells. A fourth one is on a public water supply that is a water well system. So,
and another opportunity would be municipalities, both with city and county buildings.
Correct.
The precinct barns, things like that. There'd be several locations like that, and that may be also an opportunity to tie that into ESD.
Well, in the fifth school district I'm thinking of, they probably need to get them off the city water supply because they've got such line losses. It's horrendous.
Yeah. No, I mean, the more I think about it, you know, and I mean, if we really do a good job in 10, 15 years, there could be massive rainwater collection systems all over this district that we've put in.
The other thing I'd like to see, again, out of education, is a proposal for some regular advertising in our throughout our district as far as notification to property owners on having wells, water quality tested on a regular basis. Also, why it's a good idea to register their wells so we can start trying to whittle down some of the existing well backlog we don't have registered. And just keeps our name out there.
Yeah. You know, we did
and those
that
don't have to be large ads.
No, we did that a couple years ago, and it was fairly successful. We only got a couple nasty letters.
Well,
Doug, one other quick thing. We've done one well driller symposium or one well driller education.
Correct.
Have we had plans to do any more?
Yes. In January, there will be another one here.
Excellent.
So Texas TGWA, Texas Groundwater Association. It's a branch of Texas Water Conservation Association. That's the Well Drillers Trade Association. They put on an annual conference every year. Last year, they sponsor these well driller educations. This year, as part of their annual conference, I've agreed to host the science part of it here at the district, but it's largely several drillers should show up. So we'll be hosting a portion of it here at the office.
Director Nate?
Sir.
I'd also like to couple that with some type of funding to propagate some type of xeriscape to eliminate the need for irrigation.
They run together.
Those are things we could
together.
Consider.
Pretty good.
Right.
Savings may outpace the the collection by far.
Anything else from any of the board members?
Can you scroll back up to the second thing? I think, yes, I'm thinking you answered the only question that I had.
What are you asking me? I can help you find where it is.
I saw something that did not seem right, but I think it was on the monitoring well. It had like $100.
That's why it's a line. It's just a placeholder.
Okay.
It's a placeholder. So what it is, it's a placeholder. It's just, rather than have a $0 line item, it's just a placeholder so that we can just move money into it.
Can't enough money to drive south there, look at a well, and drive back and say I'm monitored.
I can't
monitor it.
I can't even find where it's at now, but I think you answered it when you was doing your thing a while ago, but I can't even – when I was looking at it through the packet earlier, I saw it, but never mind. There it is, right there. Monitor well drilling, $100 on capital expenses.
Yeah.
I figured it was just a placeholder. You answered my question.
It's a placeholder.
Okay.
I think Shannon asked me the same thing.
Okay.
And it keeps our outside auditor happy.
Okay.
It's not like we're creating a new line item in the middle of the year.
Yeah, and technically we can, but Tracy's right. It's a lot better just to have the line item in there and then be able to move money into that line item when necessary.
Because we have those in assigned funds.
Yeah.
Correct. Move out whenever.
So Tracy, my recommendation would be to adopt the proposed budget and adopt the two resolutions with amendment of changing the facility buildings fund to $500,000 and the technology development fund. Actually, I'd just put it all in facility buildings. I'd increase that by $500,000, say $750,000 would be my recommendation. I don't see us needing more than a quarter million for technology. I don't have anything. I've talked about some stuff, but I don't think the facility and building is where we need it for stuff here. And then that would be where we'd take money out of for building other projects.
You brought up technology three times now. It's reminded me to ask you a question. Our problems with our GAM software.
Not solved? No.
Do we have any idea when it's going to be solved?
Last Wednesday?
That was responsible for.
Do I need to sign a letter?
Maybe if it's not ready in another couple of weeks.
Okay.
Who's responsible for rectifying this? Intera?
Intera. Sorry, I like talking into the mic real close. It's getting late. I'm sorry. I'm just getting silly.
Ann had to take her headphones off, so.
Board's heard the general manager's recommendation on adopting the budget. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion.
Motion second. Motion by Director Wilson, second by Director Nave, with the amendment to increase the facilities budget by $500,000, assigned funds by $500,000. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item six, management report. General manager's report on delinquent customers of the district. I notice we've got one that's over 90 days.
James Nelson up there in Montague on the lake. We're talking about
the very one at the bottom with the most.
Yeah. Oh, that's more than 90 days delinquent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one that we were talking about earlier that CSWR is trying to buy. And it was a $9 water use fees and $27 in late penalties. And they still haven't paid $40.
No, this one was like $31,000.
Oh no, that's land fund manager. That's the one. That we have a settlement with them.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I watch those.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. They pay us once a year.
So general manager's report.
Nothing other than GMA 8 met and actually took formal action to adopt DFCs. It was basically just administrative. They were really adopted earlier in the year. Explanatory report. They're working on that. That has to be submitted by January. Once that's submitted, the Water Development Board will review it. Once it's declared administratively complete, then as soon as possible, we'll have to hold a hearing and formally adopt DFCs as a district. The only other thing is, Jenny already mentioned, we've got 117 well applications this month. So we've had, I think, 2 months. We've gone over 200 this year. At this pace, it looks like we're going to do it again. So
And just so the board doesn't think Montague County's falling behind, I know I totaled up. I know subdivisions with 175 lots of 5 to 10 acres.
It's everywhere. I was telling folks down in Hood County the other day, I was at a meeting down there, and primarily the last several years it's been, Parker and Wise, and it still is. I mean, Parker's going to have over 1,000 wells this year. But I'm starting to see more and hear more about plats with 2-acre lots on private wells in Hood County and in Montague County. So I do expect an increase in the next coming years for those two counties as well.
Before what Jenny said, it looked like about 2,100 wells this year. And it might be 22.
That's where we're heading.
Any action we need out of your report?
No, sir.
No budget amendments this month?
Nope.
We'll do the cleanup next month?
Yeah, we'll do. Ann's got a couple she pointed out to me, but I'd rather just wait until next month. And I've talked to the auditor. As long as we do it by the end of December, we're good. Talk to the auditor, and I mean, I want to know everything. Just do it all at once. We'll clean it all up next month.
General counsel's report. Brian, you have anything else?
I don't have anything pressing, no.
Okay. Next board meeting, Doug?
So our next board meeting is Thursday, December 16th at 5 o'clock.
Here at our offices?
Yes, sir. And we're going to have our last of the easy HUP hearings.
As long as I don't have to read more for the uneasy ones.
Probably just the same.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe Brian will write a whole new novel for you.
Absolutely. Let's start from scratch.
No. Any other new business we need to add for the agenda next month, gentlemen? Or in the future dates? Obviously, if there's something you think we need to take up, contact Doug or myself. There not being any others, I show the meeting adjourned at 6:37 p.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann.
Resolution.